In our gospel lesson, the good news being read in Christian churches throughout the world on this day, according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter, Jesus tells the story of the rich man and poor Lazarus. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abram's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send them to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. We speak together the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Friends, may the mercy, peace, and love of God, which are the true riches in our hearts and in our lives, be with you as we go forth as the richest people in faith that we will ever know. Thanks be to God. Amen. My text for this morning is from our epistle lesson from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 to 12. "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have even wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called." Dear friends, I'm going to put up a couple pictures here. I'm wondering if you can identify what these are. Take a look at that. Now, I mean, it's you can tell it's a maze, but can you tell what kind of a maze? I'll put up another one. These are aerial views, and here is your hint right here. They're what are called corn mazes. I'm going to go backwards now, and I'm going to let you see these. These are aerial views of actual mazes built into cornfields. Quite remarkable, isn't it? And there are farmers now that will start paying a lot of money to get these kind of built into their fields. Because what happens is that on a lot of farms, they need some early crop for things. The term that they use a lot of times is silage. And they need that stuff early on. And they used to just take it off one end of the field, but at some point somebody realized, hey, if we can do something like this at the same time and get you what you need now, and this usually is happening just as the corn is starting to turn. It's not quite ready for harvest yet, and as you can see, it'll get a little bit closer, but this is remarkable what they can do. And if you look at the corn, it is just starting to turn. And people build corn mazes in your job. Of course, an aerial view is one thing. Trying to find your way through is quite something different. So I put up a little sentence here. Mazes are, and I'm looking for a word. Mazes are, where do you think that word comes from? Amazing, okay? But more to the point. The word maze dates from the 13th century, goes back a long ways, and comes from the Middle English word called mice, denoting delirium or delusion. It was used to confuse people. They would actually start putting these in place with the idea that as they started getting confused, then once they got to the other end, there was going to be a trap or a snare that was going to be waiting there for them. And while, you know, that's fun, I don't know how many of you ever went to mazes. You know, it says not all mazes are fun. I know that for a fact. There were those glass houses at these carnivals. Any of you remember those? I got lost in one of those. My parents had to come in and find me and get me out of there because I couldn't find my way out. It never occurred to me to look down at the floor where the path kind of lays itself out for you there. But no, when you're in the middle of a maze and you can't find your way out, it's not fun. It says, those who desire to be rich do the same thing. They fall into a snare. Something they get into that sometimes they can't get out. Into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. You know, there's nothing wrong with especially working hard to acquire the things that we have. And that's one of the blessings that God gives to us. Sometimes he does richly bless those who are working faithfully in this world. As we have learned, that is only one kind of riches and not the most important kind. But sometimes it happens. The trouble is when you decide that that's going to be the most important thing in your life. And when that happens, you start seeing all kinds of things, and none of these are fun. You have heard about these scams. Most of them were phone scams, and some of them, you know, even internet and stuff, but they tend to target some of the most vulnerable people in our population. Whether it is a threat that they do over the phone to try to separate you from some money, or a promise of something that they could never deliver on, and they know it. But still, it doesn't seem like much time goes by, and you're hearing about the latest one of these on the news. It has never stopped. There are these things that are called Ponzi schemes. I don't want to get into too many details, but suffice to say that sometimes what they'll do is they will set up some sort of a fund, and they will claim that if you invest in this fund, it's going to give you this huge return, a nice big fat percentage back, when all they're really doing is taking money, and as it is coming in, they are paying out these supposed interests. There really is no real fund, no real money. They're just taking money from one and giving it to the other, and at some point, it's going to collapse, and most people are going to end up losing their money out of it. But that's why there was an individual whose last name was Ponzi that was kind of the first one that was convicted of a crime for doing something like this. There are, of course, lotteries. And look, I know that there's a lot of that lottery stuff out there that's talking $5 and $10, and we'll save it for another sermon about the usage, about the stewardship of the usage of God's resources in such ways. But for now, you ever seen what the reaction is when all of a sudden we hear about the latest one in which the payout is going to be $684 million? And the stores are absolutely jammed with people buying these things. And you have a better chance, and this is true, of being struck by lightning four times in a year than you do of winning it. And yet, somehow, people are drawn to things like that. My beloved paternal grandmother, she was one of those people that when she got, whether it was an offer or something like that, even the latest Publishers Clearinghouse thing, she threw it in the wastebasket. She said, no, the money that we are to receive from the Lord is something that we are supposed to earn. And then, of course, whether it's having your ID stolen, having your credit card stolen, and all of a sudden, by the time you even realize what has happened, hundreds of dollars have already taken place. For every person that has had that happen to them, there's someone on the other end who thinks they can get away with it. And they will be caught, and they will spend significant time in prison. And is it really worth that? Friends, I could go on and on. This is not a short list. Somehow, people have all made the same mistake. But far worse than even the earthly risks are the spiritual risks. Because it says, look, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. And it is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith. Far be it from God's people to let something as passing as money get in the way of our relationship with our Lord and Savior. Now, Jesus once said, and this is out of the Gospel of Matthew, where he said, look, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it, because what will it profit a man if he gains even the whole world, is able to fill bowl after bowl with riches, but forfeits his life? Because what shall a man give in return for his life, in return for his soul? The problem that we have here, friends, is there are so many issues, because you got to ask, why risk it? Well, look, part of the problem is that the Lord God, who sent his son Jesus, who rose from the dead, that's our security, but that's a true hope. And as we have learned, hope is something that is not seen. And some people just need, I guess, that which they can see. But there's never enough. The one constant that is true about all people, and look, realistically, in this case, I'm probably talking about those whose first love is in the Lord, not even the money. Even they will admit, is there ever enough, my friends? Do you ever feel good about having enough to get your bills paid and whatever, this, that, and the other thing? You're going to find out that you're not alone. One of the first billionaires that ever walked in this world, I'll be nice enough to save his name from you, was once asked, okay, you are one of the first billionaires that has ever lived. Do you have enough? He thought about it for a moment, and he said, what a lot of you probably think, this much more would be nice. Which goes to show you that when you put your security in something other than Christ, it's never enough. We always have, and I understand that, let's say that on our way home today, we have to pick up a gallon of milk. We are going to have some money or, you know, something in a bank account or whatever, to be able to buy that. That's the life that we live in. And we are no different here at church. We rely on the generosity of people to make sure that we receive the monies that we need so that we can pay the bill that lights the church, that gives us air conditioning and whatever else. That's understood. But that's where we have to be careful, because that is the primary path to making ourselves out to be gods. And oh, if there is one thing that defines today's generation more than ever before, they want to be their own gods. Or at the very least, if they're going to let God, the one true God, be in their lives, they claim they want him to play by their rules. Well, gratefully, my friends, and prayerfully, we don't live in that world. Nor should we. And there are alternatives. Look at what we are told to pursue. We are told to pursue righteousness. Now, of course, the true righteousness comes through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. His righteousness was given to us when he died on the cross. We don't have to go out and get it, but a life that reflects that Christ's righteousness is a part of our own lives is a life that shows that even as we have won the victory, we are made rich in every way possible. We're told to pursue godliness. Now again, that doesn't mean being a god or trying to think like we got to make God play by our rules. Godliness is a willingness to say that we understand as much as we can as human beings what his will in our lives is going to be. And although sin is going to cling to us, we are going to do the best we can to live the life the way he would want us to. That's godliness. We are to pursue faith. And even though faith starts with the waters of holy baptism, comes into us with the idea that we cannot by our own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel, enlightened us with his gifts, sanctified and kept us in the true faith. But that now is something that we can continue to pursue for the rest of our lives, to make that the heart and center of all that we do. Friends, love is something that I'll use the term reverse pursue. We're not chasing after it. We have it chasing after us because we are going forth in love to each other. In a caring, responsible, Christ-like, sacrificial love that we share with each other, we also share something that's called steadfastness. You know, towards the beginning of the Old Testament lesson, or excuse me, the epistle lesson, those that are, shall we say, rich are given instructions. It's not like the kingdom of God is not for them either, but they are told, even as they're told, not to set their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but they are set to set their hope on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Steadfastness then talks about they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, to be ready to share, steadfastly going forth and utilizing with all that God has blessed you with. And make no mistake, whether we have a few dollars in our pocket or not, we have something that we can steadfastly share with God and his people. We are to pursue a gentleness. This is a rich and blunt world that wants to take to itself, that as quickly as possible wants to find ways to oppose one another, wants to find ways to try to go into battle with each other. But in gentleness and in love, we have a different plan. And that plan, my friends, is to fight the good fight of faith. Now, Paul ends up talking about this to Timothy twice. Once in each letter. This was his first letter. Then in his second letter, which was written shortly before he died, he put it in the past tense. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the course. And now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Fighting the good fight of faith is one of those things that understands it every day. I'm going to get up and understanding that it is by the power of God, I'm going to move forward with what God has given me. I'm going to take up that cause of I'm not going to let sin determine what I'm going to do each and every day, but I'm going to take hold of the eternal life to which I was called. Now the question is, how? And perhaps one of the best things that we can do is to go back into the cornfield. I remember so very well what life was like about this time of year, about the time that we had to start back to school. And right after school, almost every single year, I had to help one of the area farmers, who I guess was a distant relative, get the corn picker ready to go. Now, nowadays, what they do is so very, very different with these large machines that they have. But we had to mount this gigantic picker on a tractor, and it took a long time and a lot of work. But with each time, we are preparing ourselves for the greatest blessing you can imagine. Because up until that moment, all the farmer has done, he's invested a ton of money into seed, hoping that when he puts the seed into the ground, he's able to do it where the ground is not too wet, where he can't get to it, and not too dry, where it's not going to germinate. He's going to pray that in the midst of the severe storms that happen during the year, that the crop is going to grow, that the crop is going to pollinate, that the crop is going to prepare itself. But even when it does, there's nothing that says that 2 days before the harvest, we're not going to get a strong wind now that the corn is completely dried out and the stalks are brittle, a strong wind is going to come and knock all the corn down. Or that now we're going to get, as unfortunately they have, in many portions of where they're getting ready to harvest corn, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 inches of rain. Once you are able to start with the harvest, the understanding of the blessings begin. But, friends, we prepare our lives with the idea that there is always a greater blessing waiting for us. Tragedy is always around the corner, and it seems like, at least in my pastoral life, I have seen more in fall than the other three seasons combined. I don't know why. But I do know that God will continue to find ways to bless his people, that whether or not we feel like we are receiving an abundant harvest, or whether God has placed us on just a horrible detour, God is always going to bring us closer, allowing us to take hold of the eternal life because he has called you to it. Friends, that's why we remind ourselves in the midst of those who have fallen into ruin and destruction, in the midst who have also wandered away from the faith, we are the ones, friends, who are being told to flee these things. So pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you have been called, because it is our Lord and Savior who gave his life for you, who has called you to be the richest person in this world. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon with all of our heart, all of our mind, let us pray to the Lord. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. For guests in worship today, that Christ bless their lives in the hearing of the word with faith, in understanding and joy, let us pray to the Lord. For those who continue to bring the light of Christ into places of darkness, calling people to repentance and teaching Jesus Christ and his saving love, let us pray to the Lord. For the world around us, for the nations in conflict, for those who are victims of hate, violence, and for good and faithful leaders to guide the nations and the people in paths of justice, goodness, and peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick, Those who suffer, the grieving in their loss, and the dying in their last days. We prayed this morning on behalf of Rennell Book, Evelyn Waters, hospitalized at North Bay. Don Klug, hospitalized at Florida Hospital, North Pinellas. Helena Trankner, who has been hospitalized this past week. And now those whom we name before the Lord in our hearts, that they may know healing, comfort, and peace according to God's gracious will. Let us pray to the Lord. For our own lives, that we may show forth Christ's light in faithful words of witness and show forth his love in faithful acts of love and mercy to our neighbor, let us pray to the Lord. For wisdom and discernment, that the fading glory of this world may neither tempt nor deceive us from the true glory of Christ, crucified and risen, let us pray to the Lord. As we continue to the final portion, fully dependent on your faithfulness, generosity, and graciousness, we entrust all for whom we pray to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service concludes at the top of page 11 in our service folders, or up on the screen. We pray together the closing collect. Eternal and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for coming to us today, thus giving us forgiveness and strength. Guard our hearts and guide us by your Spirit as we make our journey into your mission field and one day to the promised land that awaits us in heaven through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for being a part of our worship. We look forward for you to join us in one of our new Bible classes starting today and next week. Friends, go in peace. Serve the Lord.